We don't know.
Yeah.
We
hide.
The problem with me is it's like when you multiply anything with naught.
Exactly.
Nothing ever happens.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Shame.
And I'm a fat little ugly fella like Reg Varney.
Well, there's lots of people there that you don't like, and you sort of you could go up to afterwards and almost like metaphorically flip the bird.
What's that mean?
Last week, yeah, flip the bird.
You dirty no
middle finger.
And I married Steve Single.
No, what are you talking about? Well, there are lots of people there.
I thought it was a euphemism.
Who you haven't got on with in the past, and then they're all being really nice to you. What am I talking about?
We get on with everyone, don't we?
What does flip the bird mean? What does
flip the bird mean? You've got that hipster thing.
The finger. Give me giving the finger.
Yeah, but I thought there was a dirty metaphor.
No.
You're always thinking this.
Don't bring me down to your level till at least 5 minutes.
All right.
Coming up after the rate, we've got Steve and Ricky and lovely Claire. We're driving their desk.
Hello.
Right, Claire.
Hello.
Don't bend over like that, Claire. Put a longer top on or something. You're right, boys. You're very studious there.
We are. We're working
just
hard on the show.
Just working out what we're going to play. What order?
I love the way you even live the pretense.
What about some Foo Fighters mixed with the Strokes, Ricky?
I wouldn't mind a bit of Strokes or New Order. What should we kick in with?
Undecided yet, Rick. Probably got some ads to help us decide.
That dilemma will be revealed in just under 4 minutes. Stick around.
Merry Christmas, Tim.
New Order and Crystal on XFM 104.9. Now, listen, it's Ricky Gervaiso, obviously.
With Steve Merchant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they like to know. They like to know if I'm here.
They don't like to know.
The fans do.
Yeah. Now, that was one of my favourite singles of the year.
Yeah, it's a good song.
And that's what we're going to be doing in this programme.
We are going to be playing some of our favourite songs from the year, Rick. That's absolutely true.
We're also going to be playing some songs that maybe we don't like.
Exactly.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah, because we're crazy guys.
Yeah.
We never know what's going to happen next.
No,
we don't. Guess who's pressing the buttons,
Rick? We genuinely don't.
Well, you know who's pressing the buttons. You can see her, but
that's
the audience
don't know what's going to happen next.
It's Sturgis.
We've got Sturgis in.
Claire Sturgis. XFM's Claire Sturgis.
Yeah. Yeah.
She stayed off it for just a day.
She's not. No, she's
clean for a day.
You're on methadone or what? You on?
No, I'm clean now.
You can actually clean. Yeah, well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well done. Congratulations.
Well done.
Yeah. For great, clean for Christmas. Oh, that's beautiful.
You're still thieving though, aren't you?
Still a thieving.
Just can't lose the thieving. But at least the money now goes on like, you know, 40 Benson as opposed to a little £5 starter pack.
It's lovely. Yeah.
No,
it's sweet.
Right. Okay.
It's nice to see a little miracle for Christmas,
yeah,
Rick. It's beautiful.
It's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm already in the Christmas mood. Are you in the Christmas mood?
The thing is, right, what she's still got left over from it, and these are the scars and the reminders of your smackhead thieving days. Are those little homemade tattoos on her face?
Exactly.
That
exactly.
She did with a pin.
Yeah, she looks like Seal.
And some quink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, but no, Merry Christmas to you, Claire.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Merry Christmas.
You're still living in the projects.
Yeah, it is one of those little
she's
miracles.
Still keeping it real.
She's
it's
like
wonderful.
Little tiny Tim.
I tell what, she's a bit like Jesus Christ.
In a way, yeah.
In
that's
way.
Blasphemous. Please play a record, Claire.
Linkin Park and one of their songs. Gervais, quick, come on, mate. He's coming back from the kitchen with a couple of cups of tea. It's like he's won an award. He doesn't care now. I'll turn up if I want to. Maybe we should do a twin spin, Sturgis.
Do you want another
record? Yeah, play something,
okay.
Play something.
Here you are then.
Paul Weller. The changing man, the mod father.
That's true enough.
As they call him.
Absolutely.
See, now, you... you told the listeners that I was just too big to be here because I'd won some award.
Yes.
I was actually making the tea for all of us, wasn't I?
It's awful, this tea.
That's not the point. I shouldn't be making tea, man, in my position. And, yeah,
you're right, you shouldn't be making tea. It's just awful. How do you actually go about the tea? You understand how a cup of tea is made.
But
you've got to put a tea bag in there.
No, but this is weird, right? Because I actually can't make a good cup of tea or coffee. And it's strange. It must be something metaphysical. I put all the right ingredients in, just like everyone else does, and I boil the kettle and everything. But people do go, that this
can
is
I tell rubbish. You where you're going wrong?
Go on.
Laziness.
Why?
Because you literally don't leave the tea bag in long enough. You literally dunk it in there and throw it away.
I was trying to get back in time because
I
got a show.
No, you were. I saw you talking with Dermot O'Diddley, so don't give me that. And I've been around to your house before. There's been times, Sturgis, when I've tasted the tea and it tastes like washing up liquid. And I've said, what happened? And he went, there were some bubbles in there, yeah. Well, could you not have rinsed it out with some water first?
I resent having to make tea.
Yeah, but don't teach me a lesson. Don't offer someone a cup of tea and then think, I'll teach them a lesson. They won't be asking for tea again.
Well, that usually works. But... yeah.
I've had to go and get an extra tea bag and dunk it in here. It's ludicrous.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
It's pathetic. Anyway, it's Christmas. Let's not disrespect each other. Let's be cheery.
Yeah.
Can I tell Sturgis what you got your family for Christmas last year? I just remembered when
outside. Please.
It was a joy. Because Gervais is a generous man, and he's a thoughtful man, and he's got a lot of brothers and sisters and a lot of nephews and nieces and stuff.
Well, I've got about 20 people to get
presents
for.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's a tricky business. That's why I think, was it, you got him £200 worth of lottery scratch cards?
On I had about a minute. I was getting a lift down to Reading, and it was my mate Jimmy, and I went, hold on, I just got to get the presents, and I just ran into the 7-Eleven opposite me and got Jimmy's the scratch cards.
That's amazing. It's such a working class gippo gift, isn't it?
But did any of them work? Anyone win anything?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people were down. That was a present. Hard luck. That's the risk you take when you accept this present. Some people are up £70. So they had a great Christmas.
Let's bear in mind that there's like some children who are like 7 or 8, you know, scratching off scratch cards. They got to be 18 to claim them. And just the rest of your family sort of, I imagine, just wrestling them off. You know, you can't claim it anyway.
No, it's... Have I won? No. No, you haven't. No.
I've got three dumbbells.
It's three the same. You don't get anything for that. Not in this game. Unlucky.
Are you going to do that again this year?
Maybe, yeah. Mercury Rev, The Dark Is Rising. That sounds a bit like a tribute to Neil Young.
Beautiful. I thought it was wonderful.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
No, they're great, Mercury Rev.
We're going to play some lovely records
today. Oh, there'll be some beautiful songs today.
Steve. Really. All right.
That's true. What did you call me then?
Steve.
Did you call me something else before? I didn't hear. I thought maybe you'd call me, I don't know, Jonathan or something. No, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't hear. I got paranoid. Christmas. We were talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
Gifts. What's wrong now?
I don't know what that meant.
What?
Were you having a go at me because I went on Jonathan Ross show?
No. I thought you'd said something. You'd said my name by mistake. You'd said someone else's name when you were talking to me.
Oh, right.
But I didn't hear that. So when I heard you just go, Steve, I thought you were correcting a mistake you hadn't made.
No.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right.
You see? Blunder.
What did you call me?
Fatty.
Good. Right. We're talking about Christmas.
Yes.
Well, it is
because it's just
isn't
the fact
it?
That because
it's the right time of year to talk about it. To be honest, it's topical. So let's carry on. Go on, shoot.
Well, I just wondered if your Christmas gift buying had always been as thoughtful as it is.
Oh well, no. That was actually, even though it was thought pretty lazy and thoughtless, it was quite generous in a sense, the financial. Sure. But I remember, God. Now, even though I sort of come from a working class family, my dad was, you know, a labourer, and my mum was like a housewife, but I was spoiled at Christmas. I didn't have like pocket money or gifts and that, but you know, she'd get out of a catalogue and pay for it for the rest of the year. So I did have great presents,
yeah.
And because I had older brothers and sisters, they were earning, so I had good presents, and it was okay for me to, you know, give them nothing or do a card or something rubbish. But then I remember one year when I just suddenly realised I was too old to be doing this. It was like, you know, in Jaws when it pulls focus.
Yeah.
And
you
go, oh my God. And I just realised that's the worst present you've ever. I think it was about 12 or 13. And I remember it now. My sister had got me a Cat Stevens album.
Great.
I think a birdhouse and like a quiz book or something. Yeah, yeah. And it was my turn to give her a present. And it was a bottle of shampoo that I'd found in the bathroom and wrapped up. It's a big jumbo, one of those Tesco's, you know.
Had it not already been used?
No, I don't think so. Mum had bought it, like, you know.
You just topped it up with water, wrapped it up?
No, I just gave it to her and she went, oh, thanks. I thought, oh,
outrageous.
God, that's rubbish.
That's really
it's
bad.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
That's really bad.
I know, yeah.
I remember one year, I really wanted a scale electric. So I was going, I want scale electric. And my mum was going, no, you'll just get bored of it. I know what you're like. You'll get bored of it and we'll have spent all that money and you'll be bored. I was going, no, I won't. I love it. I'll play with it forever. And, and she was going, no, you won't. And I was going, I will. I love it. And so she bought me scale electric and I unwrapped it. And I was bored instantly.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell her. I pretended I loved it. And she, like, I'd always be playing it monotonously, hating it.
I know.
But I'm loving this, Mum. It's actually brilliant. You were wrong. You were so wrong. I'm loving it.
I know. Things with Sky Electrics, I think it was great at the time, but I think it was an XFM party, actually, years ago when they got Sky Electrics, and like loads of us think, oh, yeah, I used to love it. Rubbish.
Yeah, really.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
It's about 2 foot long.
Yeah.
You go, put it back on,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. There
you go. Can you put it back on?
Exactly. But you want it to at least kind of change into a robot, or kind of come off and just drive around the
course. These days, it's all virtual, Steve.
That's true.
Isn't it? In your mind.
Well, we all take a pill, don't we, Rick? Yeah. And then we're in some kind of fantasy.
I am Ayrton Senna for a little while.
What about those bloody computer games? No one's reading a book anymore, are they?
What's a tree? Download. Well, I'll tell you what.
It's been a good year for hip hop, Rick. Can I surprise you?
Go on.
I've gone off hip hop of recent years, but I've been charmed this year by Bubba Sparks' album. I thought it was fun.
Chop.
I think De La Soul had an album this year, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, they did.
That was good.
They did.
I didn't mind the Jay-Z album.
See, I liked a couple of tracks.
Yeah, it's alright on there. I actually quite liked. There's a new Outkast compilation that I don't know if that's out yet, or maybe it's just going to come out.
I was disappointed by the album. I bought it on the
Well, Rick, can I surprise you? There's a new little compilation.
I like the little owl. I like the owl and the cat and the dog.
The new little compilation, Rick, has lots of tracks from their previous albums and other singles, and it's a good little dynamite buy. Maybe something for the new year in the sales.
Just going to make a note of that. I'm going to buy that on the way home.
Do it. But the album that I was particularly charmed by, Princess Superstar, is. Now, a lot of people have been dismissing her as a bit of a novelty sort of rapper.
They said the same about Timmy Mallett, so don't listen to them. No, don't listen to them.
That's what I'm saying. So, another track we played a while back, Untouchable Part 2, which was dynamite. Yep. And this is another track. I think this was a single. It's called Bad Babysitter. She raps very quickly, but listen carefully because the lyrics are fun.
Slow it down a little bit.
Princess Superstar and Bad Babysitter. Did you enjoy it, Rick?
Yeah, I did.
Good, good.
Yeah, good. No, I like that. That's two out of two from the album I've liked.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'll go and buy the album on the way home.
Do it,
Steve.
Make another note of that, Rick. You've got Outkast to buy, which has not actually been released yet, but I'm sure you can pull some strings.
I'll get someone onto that. Good. Okay, XFM 104.9, it's the Ricky Gervais Show.
Absolutely.
Can I stop you there?
Go on.
With Steve Merchant.
Thanks very much.
No worries, Cheers. we're talking about presents here, and I just remembered something else I had. I was just into science from, like, the age of, like, 5, 6 to about, 18, 19. I'm still into it, but I studied it and I absolutely loved it. And I got a microscope set when I was about, I suppose, 10 or 11. And just looking at butterfly wings and just anything under there, like, you know, 300 times. I thought this was amazing, right? And in it came these little shrimp eggs. And you could look at them and then you could sort of, you could breed them. You had to put them in a salt water solution and then keep them at a certain temperature. And they'd think, oh, and a nice little beach, and they'd come out.
Yeah.
What I did, speed up the process a little bit, popped it on the electric fire, right? And we had a fake, one of those fake plastic coal things with one of those little metal things that turned round from the heat and made it look like flames. It didn't.
No.
I'll be honest, it didn't.
Because who the hell was fooled?
Yeah.
Coming in going, you got a lovely roaring fire there.
Yeah. The flames are encased behind that plastic coal.
Exactly.
But I love it. Popped them on there, left them there for a little while, bit too hot, came back. Just melted, really. Just dry, and the thing was sort of slightly warped. So, them shrimps did not see the light of day.
Once again, your laziness and sinfulness. Yeah. Just, I got to speed up the experiment.
Absolutely.
Come on. I can advance nature.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
Do you stand in front of a microwave just going, come on.
Come on, yeah.
A minute and a half for soup.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah.
That's so majestic.
Yeah, but I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Now I make sure the shrimps are the right temperature.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
You reminded me of something I was going to say then, but I can't remember. I've embarrassed myself live on air.
Okay.
Should have kept that quiet. No one would have known. No one was there thinking, I wish Steve would say something. No, it's crazy.
What
I
was Steve going to say?
The story.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. It was about you said about the sort of the fire and that idea of kind of buying a piece. It's like when people buy a fake Rolex watch.
Yeah.
And they tell people it's fake. Utter waste of time.
Yeah.
Why are you telling me that? It's like, what, I'm getting one over on the Rolex people.
But you're right on that side, but the point is, why buy a fake Rolex watch? I mean, why buy a Rolex watch? I think they're
very expensive. Well, they look good, they look nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a, but it's a transparent display of wealth, but it's when there's like a builder who you know's on like £5 an hour wearing a Rolex.
You're joking, aren't you, Steve? Hod carriers can get upward of £550 a day. So you've embarrassed yourself.
I don't know anything, it seems like I don't know anything about the building industry anymore.
Unbelievable.
Do you know once, my friend showed off his watch that he'd bought, and a guy had sort of dodgy bloke had sold it to him on the street.
Yeah.
And he'd been up in London, and some guy on Oxford Street had sold him this watch, and it looked really good, and it worked fine for years, and it just looked class, and I thought, wow, that's brilliant. And I came to London for something, and I walked up and down Oxford Street for 2.5 hours trying to get sold a dodgy watch. And I'd be going up to people, like, selling lighters, going, yeah, not interested in lighters. Got any watches?
Yeah.
And I go, no, I haven't got any watches. Go down to the perfume guy, and I go down to the perfume bloke, you, any watches?
I love the idea that they saw you go, nah, I like the watch, and they go, no.
I know.
Why? It's a bad advertisement, mate. If people see you walking around with this, it's not good for trade. What? How dare you? Send me one of those stolen watches. Can't do it, mate. More than my job's worth. Tim Benson. Black Snow. That's a great tune.
Good song,
I love it. It's sort of like punky, but it's got more in common with stuff like Steppenwolf and
My
Bad
only worry
Company.
Is that, are they like sort of 18-year-olds who, like Gomez, are trying to sound like they've kind of had a rough, hard-living life?
No, no.
They are old 40-somethings.
Well, no, they're not. They're sort of, but they're dirty.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Do you notice that Steve Taylor, the man with the knowledge, just popped in there to bid us Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
And I noticed, Claire, you said something like, has he got another kid, did you say?
Yeah.
How many children has he got?
I think he's got the two now, yeah.
Clearly, he has got the knowledge, hasn't he, in every sense?
Yeah.
I imagine he's a great lover.
Well, he knows.
I imagine he's got wonderful fingers.
He knows what
button. Magic fingers.
Well, he's actually got little toady hands. Right. he uses a lot of utensils.
Yes. Yeah.
He's invented all these little things that go with and it just it's over very quickly, so we can get on with learning.
Pleasure gloves.
Yeah, because even when he's making love, there's a stack of trivia books.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, he can tell you about kind of great shags of the past.
Yeah. Oh, he's there. Here he comes.
Yeah, here he comes.
Oh, look, I love him. Because you don't know this, listeners, but he looks like Penfold of Danger Mouse. He does.
It hasn't stopped him breeding.
Yeah. It's not. You don't usually call it breeding when it's humans.
Steve Taylor, the man with the knowledge.
Come in.
Hey.
Merry Christmas
to you.
Like Steve Wright and his posse. All right. Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Are you?
So tell us, are you a great ladies' man? Were you a great ladies' man before you were married?
It's not something I talk about. I'm married now.
Because he's sort of like got a little shaved head and he's got a beard and it's exactly the same colour, sort of ginger hair. He looks like a tennis ball. It's just hair, exactly the same length, all over his face.
There's no reason for me to come in, was there? Abuse was happening without me here.
Yeah, I know.
And now I've come in, you just continue.
But say hello, so it's with your blessing, and I think we're nice. Say Merry Christmas.
Hi, Merry Christmas, all listeners.
See, well, you're on at 5 o'clock, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to make a note of that. When I bought those two albums, I'm going to listen to Steve Taylor, The Man with the Knowledge, on at 5 o'clock on XFM.
Isn't it incredible? Because he's been in since 11 o'clock this morning, just compiling information for every record he'll be playing.
Yeah.
The show's only 20 minutes long.
But you know, with him, it's because he's got to offload it.
Yeah.
He's got to talk about it all the time because it's only, you know, he's got a huge brain. And it's wom. It's going
throbbing,
All information.
What are you playing next, Claire?
You bored? Sorry, will we boring you two?
Oh, it's just that list, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
So can you tell us about Star Sailor? What do you know about some interesting facts about Star Sailor?
Into the microphone, into the micropole that goes down the loudy box and out to the radiograph in the homes all around England.
They're rubbish.
Thank you.
Steve Taylor, controversial view. Lovely. Still, he has bred people.
Hives. Before that, Star Sailor. It's been a bit of a punk sort of show, this, isn't it?
Yeah,
in general, in year, you know, the whole year's been a little bit of a. I blame the Strokes, but you see, I enjoyed punk. You were too young and don't care for it. But
well, I have to say that if punk the first time round was as exciting as I found it this year, then I've missed out because I've really enjoyed it. Really,
so I want to go home and play all things like X-Ray Specs and things like that. Now,
are they as kind of melodic though as things like the Strokes and White Stripes and so on? Are they kind of tuneful? Because the White Stripes.
In fact, I've picked a very bad example because they were sort of like pop punk and polished. Time was almost. She wasn't a joke, but they had saxophones and stuff. So right. It's not as probably a bad example of early. I mean, the Sex Pistols summed it all up.
Yeah, sure.
But we enjoyed that, don't we?
No, we did. I have to say though, although there has been a nice bit of sort of punky sound this year, for me it's been very much a year for the geeks. And you'd have thought I'd have enjoyed
that.
Well,
that's
actually,
new metal, though, isn't it?
Well, it is new metal.
Sort of these people are in their bedroom playing sort of computer games and loving Limp
Bizkit. I can't believe
that new
metal has taken over the world. It's just
mad, isn't it? It's absolutely huge.
Suddenly, Linkin Park and.
But see, I don't mind things like, you know, Marilyn Manson, because they're having a go, they're having a bit of a laugh, and, you know. But
it always seemed so perennially uncool to me when I was younger. Anyone who was into that kind of music, I just thought, loser. And that's.
And coming
the
from
the calling the pot black.
Yeah, imagine that.
But it's the year of the geeks, not just because of new metal, but also because of just these fantasy films with the Harry Potter stuff and now Lord of the Rings. It's like everyone's obsessed.
Now it's cool to play
stuff.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I know, I can't get over it. I'm stunned.
It's scary, isn't it?
Because I was never into that rubbish.
No,
I've always thought
it's
like. Yeah. It's like people who are still obsessed with Harry Potter, they go, I'm rereading Harry Potter for the third time. And I think, listen, I haven't read it. Okay, I'm sure it's very good. But you're rereading it for the third time. There are books out there written by adults for adults with, like, sex and other exciting things.
Yeah.
And it's Harry Potter, I'll just read. Like, in case you miss something the first time around.
But maybe they're learning the spells.
I'm stunned by it. I mean, have you read it all, Claire? Are you all up on this?
What, Harry Potter? I actually went out and bought the first Harry Potter book and lost interest halfway through because there was no sex in it.
No,
so
exactly.
Couldn't be
it's
bothered.
Like why I never go to see any Disney films. There's never the prospect of any nudity. If that's if there's no chance of nudity.
See, I think you're actually buying the wrong books.
Right.
What you want to buy, Steve, is a pornographic magazine.
Tell me more.
Wow. In there, you see, what you get.
Ladies. Other ladies.
Sometimes ladies.
Nudie ladies.
Sometimes ladies. Stereophonics. And the theme tune to BBC Two's The Office, Handbags and Glad Rags.
Absolutely.
So I think we should be playing Christmas songs as well, though. America's War is over. A great.
Is it really?
What?
The theme tune to The Office.
I think it meant, is war really over? It is. Thanks, John. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is, yeah. That's, well, there. Yeah, to be fair, Rod Stewart did it first.
Yeah, and we don't use the Stereophonics version.
Oh, no, right, or okay. The Rod Stewart version. Thank you. Too expensive.
Exactly. Cost a fortune.
Like to re-record it.
Yep. A little known facts.
Yeah.
You should save that for the DVD.
Or Steve Taylor would have blown it anyway. Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't he? To come on with the knowledge and told him everything.
I was thinking
actually, Fairytown, New York.
Beautiful song.
Can,
it is
we,
great
can
song.
We find
it'd
that?
It'd be nice to try and dig it. I'm sure everyone's playing it at the moment.
Yeah, that's where, yeah. Let's
but I mean, we
it.
Should. It's good. No, it
let's
is
play "Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time" by Paul
can we
McCartney.
Play "Driving Home for Christmas"? Chris Rea.
Oh, he is. Oh. And he there's a lyric in that that goes, "I look at he's in the car driving for Christmas." And he looks over the other bloke, the other car. He goes, "He's just the same as me."
Yeah, I was thinking that.
He's just the same as me.
Yeah.
Is he saying he's copied him? He's like, "Oi, what are you wearing? That's the same as me, that is.
What'd you get your missus? The same, is it?
You. Who are you, a stalker? I'm Chris Rea."
Hello.
Yeah. He's going back to Newcastle.
Exactly.
Are they talking it?
Is that where he's from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it Middlesbrough or Newcastle or...
Do you remember when Rea made
Cleveland?
A film?
Cleveland. Go on.
Chris Rea made a film. They all do it, like, Dave Stewart made that film with the All Saints, Honest. No one went to see it.
No.
But Chris Rea made a film, which was like a kind of fantasy thing. Well, I think Shirley Bassey turned up in it, where he was like, have you ever seen this?
No, but, oh, no, I can't tell you. I'll tell you off air.
Really? Is it outrageous? Is it libelous to Chris Rea?
No, I had to interview Chris Rea about this.
Really?
And Shirley Bassey was there. And she pulled
that's
up in
a
her
weird
limo.
Interview.
Yeah, I don't ask me. Don't ask me.
What
it was
were you doing for?
It was for some satellite.
And what
TV
did Bassey say? Did she disrespect
Bassey? No. When Bassey came into Pinewood Studios, when she came in, we all had to leave the set so she could drive through the set. We all had to leave so she could drive in.
Mm-hmm. No.
Just thought I'd tell you that. God. It's very boring, really. I wish I hadn't told you that.
What do you mean? She drove her car into the set?
No, she was driven into Pinewood Studios, into wherever they were filming, and we had to all leave as she arrived. Because I don't know.
Did she know what you do?
She didn't like me.
I don't want that smackhead around in here, you know.
I got some valuables in here.
Yeah, yeah. Sturgis.
Diamonds are forever, especially when she's around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I never saw the film, Steve, in answer to your questions.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone did, but the fact that Chris Rea got money to make a film. I mean, has he released a song for years?
He's still going.
Is he?
He's probably got a little bit of back catalogue going.
You mentioned Paul McCartney as well, and we were talking about that with Steve Taylor. And I'm wondering, because you're talking about his money and the fact he's got loads of wealth, and that's fair enough, and he obviously deserves it. But what I'm wondering is, he's got to be he's such
Steve,
a rich
does anyone deserve it?
Unless they spread it around.
Politics.
But, he's obviously, I mean, he must be one of the richest men, certainly in this country, and I'm sure, you know, internationally. Millions.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's reached the billion mark yet. But I'm wondering to myself, why doesn't he spend some of that money making his missus like a bionic leg? That'd be amazing. Do you know what I mean? She could, like, leap over buildings and stuff. That'd be genius.
Well, she wouldn't leap, she'd hop.
Because if I had that much money, I would.
She could only hop.
She'd just be running around in a circle.
She'd win
the one.
She'd
you
win
to get the other
sports
one done as well.
Games, wouldn't she? At score easy. Just one hop.
Exactly.
And she's won.
I mean, it'd just be incredible. Because I don't know. I mean, the Bionic Man, it was expensive then, wasn't it?
$6 million then, Steve. Christ knows what it would cost now with inflation. $6 million, of course. That's only about £4 million sterling.
Yeah.
But now, and that was like, what was that, 74 or something?
It cost you a fortune.
$100 million.
Oh, I wouldn't even want a guesstimate.
But he got the eye.
Sure.
That's useful.
Yeah.
He can, well, see miles away.
Yep.
He's got the two legs. You need the two legs for running.
Did he have the two legs?
Wouldn't it be, of course he did. Otherwise, he'd be hopping. Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Dun. But he got the one arm. He need the one arm. They thought, let's not be mad. Let's not make him completely bionic.
Yeah.
But the one thing that always worried me, right, was that when he lifted up a truck with his one good arm, why didn't his back collapse?
Yeah.
He'd never bionic spine, did he?
Sure.
I could see him lying on the ground and sort of like doing this sort of leg press. That'd be fine. But when he stand up, his back would just collapse, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So you're beginning to wonder if an astronaut who fell out of an airplane while test driving it and was rebuilt as a half robot, you're wondering if there's maybe some flaws in that concept.
Yeah. And Oscar Goldman, I don't know what. And isn't it convenient that his girlfriend had the same two legs, one arm?
I think that's what drew him closer together. There is.
This time she had the ear.
I don't think he was just on the pull and by chance he got her undressed. He thought, my God, that looks like a familiar plastic arm.
And there was a bionic dog, wasn't there?
And a horse, apparently.
Well, why do you need a bionic horse?
I know.
When you can run at 70 miles an hour, you don't really need to get on a horse, do you? Unless the bloke that had the bionic horse wasn't bionic, and he could run, like, really
fast. I think the problem was that they'd spent so much money on all these bionic things, they just made a bionic horse, entered it in races.
Yeah, he had to get some of their money back.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Austin, he's not turning exactly. up, he's swanning round.
A very costly investment.
Does anyone remember Bionic Man? Is this just, it's also shown again, isn't it, on Bravo?
Everyone knows who the Bionic Man is.
Oh, just ask Canfield about it.
Oh, I bet he loves it.
Because Canfield's only about 14 and he knows the Bionic Man.
I know, yeah. He's been watching it for 13 and a half years.
Sturge, let's play another song, because we just played the cover version of Handbags and Narrows. Sure. Great song, really good. Yeah. And I've been playing cover versions all this year. Mm. And one of my favourites was this one I played a long time back. Actually, I think I played this when we were standing in for Dermot O'Diddley.
Yeah. He was back today, wouldn't he? Just pops up when he wants.
Exactly.
Didn't he?
But I'm not going to play any cover versions in the new year. That's Cover Me Up or Cover Me Bad. That's cover,
Run for cover. Well, I've finished with my I call it film review.
Yeah. Sure. So we're going to have all new features in the new year.
Yeah.
But this is, I'd love to play this again. This is a Once Around the Block, as done by the Kings of Convenience.
Great. I'm loving this, Steve.
Yeah. No,
it's nearly Christmas. I had a couple of chocolates there, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
The purple ones in roses. Mm, very much like the Quality Street one, the hazelnut and the toffee.
Yeah.
But getting me in the mood. Now, I know if you're a fan like me, you love the roast dinner.
Oh.
We love the roast dinner. But the Uber roast dinner is the Christmas dinner.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I'm thinking about it now. I can't believe how many different sort of meats you're going to have in your house.
Well, we always have the turkey, obviously. Yeah. Traditional. Plus, we always have a little bit of pork, a little bit of lamb.
Oh, God. And don't forget the sausage, you know.
Well, I love the fact that someone's designed the turkey Christmas dinner, and then they thought, wait a minute, I also want a little sausage, and let's wrap it in bacon.
Why not?
Can we have all the meats that are available?
Someone said, hold on. There's sausage meat in the stuffing. They went, well, sue me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sue me if I want a bit of extra sausage. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It's the greatest. It's the work of art, and it takes hours.
Rick, can I ask you what kind of veg you going with this year?
Veg? Well, I just love the roast potato. I mean, people have tried to sneak in the Brussels sprout.
Because you don't eat vegetables or anything green.
Not to eat parsnips.
I love parsnips, but when they're crisp and crunchy, like a trendy crisp in a wine bar. I love it when, you know, I love that.
We'll be having carrots, we'll be having leeks, we'll be having Brussels, obviously. Brussels.
Yeah.
And there's my mum will always throw in a little bit of something crazy. Maybe there'll be a little bit of red cabbage, something wild, something exotic,
or a used condom. To be quite honest, I think she's mental, your mother. She's got to stop that.
But who knows, any kind of treats. And I love the fact about the Christmas dinner is that people are taking weeks, years planning it.
I know.
They take, you know, months, going to defrost.
Can you talk about your grandparents?
Well, my grandparents, of course, the thing about my grandparents, I have mentioned this before.
Yeah.
I think they've got about 3 teeth between them. It's unbelievable. My grandfather.
They're all their own now.
He was in the RAF in the war, right? And he, for some reason, he had problems with his teeth, and they pulled them all out.
Oh,
and
really?
They replaced them with a false set of false teeth. But during the wartime, I don't know whether this was just like what it was like during the war or just the 40s, but he had a kind of wooden plate put in with like some kind of fake teeth attached.
Oh, no.
And he's never had that changed. So, you know, he's still got the wooden plate and about 3 teeth still hanging on it.
Oh.
So he and my grandmother combined, they cannot eat anything that's kind of solid. So they will literally get up for Christmas dinner. They'll get up and they'll put the meat on like it's 6 in the morning, go back to bed for the day, get up and eat it about 9 o'clock at night. And the best compliment you can have if you've cooked dinner for my grandparents is, oh, this is lovely. You can suck it away.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine
why don't they just liquidise it? Have a nice little roast smoothie.
They have done in the past.
Really? And a little apple crumble smoothie to follow.
If we take them out to eat, like at a restaurant or something, we've got to phone ahead to make sure there's fish on the menu.
Really?
Because they can only have fish. But then the bones, you see, that's a problem for them.
Well, you can take the bones out of fish, can't you, and sort of mash it up.
Yeah, but the eyes are going
Steve, could I suggest the fish cake? It's already mashed, it's with the potato, it's in a crispy crumb, which doesn't hurt anyone, whether you've got teeth or not.
Rick, can I,
go on.
Make a little, I just want to make it, because obviously not everyone's as fortunate at Christmas, Rick,
no,
as us. What about the vegetarians? What are they eating?
A nut cutlet.
What the hell
a
is
lovely
a nut
little nut cutlet. Can't they have like tofu, but in the shape of a turkey?
But I love the fact that so often, you know, certainly your Linda McCartney veggie items, they always try to fool you into thinking it's the real thing. You know, some veggie sausages that they've injected with something so they'll taste like sausages.
Yeah,
well, eat the real thing.
I look, you don't really need it that arbitrary shape. If it's, but you might as well just have it any shape.
What angers me with the vegetarians,
really?
What angers me with the vegetarians and the vegans, even worse, is that look, we're breeding all these animals to be eaten.
Yeah.
They're going to get slaughtered anyway. Chow down. Come on.
Yeah.
Those chickens in those little kind of pens, you know, 4 of them in a little square box.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're crapping eggs out every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You're
not a zoologist, are you?
I am not officially.
Yeah.
No, but I know what I'm talking about, Rick.
Yeah, you do.
I've seen brochures.
I've
walked past a farm while on holiday.
Excuse me, Farmer, could your finest hens crap me some eggs for my tea? No worries.
Chicken, crap a little egg for me. Oh,
brilliant.
An old Christmas classic.
Oh.
Spare a thought for the vegetarians, and worse still, the vegans.
Yeah, and what about Travis? What do you think they'll be doing this Christmas?
I've no whale of a time.
I'll tell you what, Steve, it was an excuse to play the record.
Genius.
It was a link. Travis. and Driftwood on XFM 104.9. It's the Christmas edition of the Ricky Gervais Show with Steve Merchant.
Hi.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's good. I'm in the Christmas spirit, actually, I have to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, definitely.
I do enjoy it. Will you be looking forward to, I know everyone talks about it, Rick, but Christmas telly?
I love Christmas telly. Christmas Day telly's great. I get up and Noel's giving out some presents around hospitals and that, and then you might have the number ones of the year from Top of the Pop. Then you might have a little, I don't know, I don't watch the Queen's speech, but, you know, you have a little sleep then, don't you? Maybe
exactly.
After a big roast dinner with too many sausages.
Yeah.
I'm only joking, Mum, let's have some more.
It's true enough. More chocolate, please.
Yeah. Well, let's not, you know, there's people starving in the world, so let's not rub it in.
Hopefully they're not listening to the radio.
No, probably not.
Just scrabbling around in the cold and the dirt looking for food.
We are actually laughing about it.
We actually laugh. Rick,
about,
I find that if I laugh about it, then I can ignore the problem easier.
Yeah.
Not face up to the horror.
Yeah, I know. That's too easily done, isn't it?
Exactly. It's too easy to face the horror of the world. It's better to laugh it off.
I know. That's what annoys me about buskers.
Because
a beggar just sits there and you can pretend you haven't seen him.
Exactly.
Whereas a busker's shouting out.
Yeah,
and you
want to
go, you know, unless you're deaf and blind, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
So,
have you
anyway.
Cultivated a kind of universal, I've cultivated this kind of thing I always do with a beggar. When they offer their hand, I don't even say anything anymore. I just sort of kind of offer up my hands as though to say, look, I have no money in my hands. And just a kind of sympathetic turn of the head. And I sort of mouth some words like, and it normally involves sorry mate or something.
Yeah.
Because I find it's better to be courteous than, like, kick them in the head or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I never do that. And I always acknowledge them. I actually never ignore them.
No.
And sometimes I give, depending on...
Although, I have to say, another successful year for me of avoiding the Big Issue salesman. I've never bought a copy of the Big Issue.
I love the fact you are actually proud of that.
Well, it got to the point, Rick, where I actually am appalled by myself, but it's like it's a contest now. It's like I've managed to do it for so long that it's almost a competition with myself.
Well, it's the same as me with reading a novel. But, yeah... Although I blew that in 1997 when I read Catcher in the Rye. I'm still kicking myself.
I'm looking forward, of course, to... I'm hoping it'll be Dennis Norden's Laughter File, Volume 7.
Oh, you're having a laugh. 27?
It used to be It'll Be Alright on the Night, but I think they've changed the name to Dennis Norden's Laughter
File.
Well,
it's great, though, isn't it? Because he comes... You're one of those people. This is something we call doorstop.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, just what... Yeah. And doesn't he just go into the director general?
This is one called Let Sleeping Logs Die.
Yeah. It's just, oh, God.
But what I don't understand is why no one has said to him, or why hasn't he watched that TV? Why hasn't he, at Christmas, right, he's gone home with the family, he's gone, come on, everyone, let's watch my show, and he's watched it.
It's Laughter File 27. Yeah,
The family must have been faking laughter. And why is he not turning around? Why did no one tell me?
Yeah.
Crap.
Why doesn't he go to Greg Dyke and go, or whatever it's on?
Well, it's ITV, isn't it? Yeah.
Is it? Oh, who's
ITV
that then?
ITV Task. It's Paymasters. I don't know. They change every week, don't they?
Just watched me on that Laughter File 27. It's rubbish, isn't it? And they go, yeah. I go, well, why didn't you tell us that? Well, we thought it would kill you, to be quite honest. But why didn't you let my son take over or something? Well, Dennis, he's 84.
How old am I then?
Well. We don't know. We've had you carbon dated, but it's off the scale. But why did you let me carry that stupid file? Are you reading this now, Dennis?
Well, I can't remember what I got to say.
Well, don't read it. Just speak normally.
Two coffees, please, waiter.
No!
I'm on the wrong sheet.
No.
I don't know what I'm
this
doing.
Is what we call talking to the Director General. Stop it! But I can't wait for that, yeah. And,
Dennis Lawrence
laughed. There is two
Can I just say one? Who's in the audience of Dennis Lawrence? Like, who's gone? Joan, I got two tickets for a Laughter File. I can't believe my luck.
I've been on the internet.
Because they're always laughing, cracking up the people on that show. I've never laughed once.
Maybe it was an audience that they filmed in 1973, but it was the first time they saw a goalkeeper get hit in the balls or something, or Jackie Charlton or something, or, or a dog fall off a slide.
Well, it's either old people who just can't remember, they've already seen those clips 1,000 times before, or Alzheimer's or something, or it's, I was always thinking of the people that, what's that show that Beadle used to do?
You've Been Framed.
I think now what's happening is, while Lisa Riley's doing all the scripted jokes, there's just someone stood behind her, maybe just showing a picture of her, like, nude, or in a bikini, or just pointing and just making jokes at her expense.
Exactly,
that's
why
they're laughing.
He's lovely Lisa Riley off Emmerdale,
good
of course.
Fatty Riley.
No, don't say it's not fat. It might be Glenn, you don't know.
It could be Glenn.
No, just stop it. You can't say that.
I don't know, I've gone a bit crazy, I've just gone a bit wild.
No, but what if she's listening to this and she gets an eating disorder or something, you know, becomes bulimic, because of what you... She's probably at home binging now.
I know.
She's leaving out the vomit and she can't get her fat fingers in her mouth. Anyway.
I'll tell you what, the best gig of the year, surely the White Stripes, Rick. I know everyone's raving about it, and let's hear one of their tracks. What's it called again, Claire?
Fell in Love with a Girl.
Lovely.
Pogues. Kirsty MacColl, Fairy Tale New York. We're just saying, it's just a brilliant song, isn't it?
It's genius. It's genius. Great. And what I love is the fact that it was quite a big hit, and it's like sometimes even a majestic song like that, that normally would get overlooked, just manages to drift up to the surface somehow, and even, you know, everyone, the white trash.
Well, the imagery is great as well.
It's brilliant.
How can old slut on junk be romantic?
Amazing.
Well, we're fans.
Yeah.
Sturgis thought he was talking about her. Leave it, Sturgis.
You know,
you're clean.
Way we are.
You're clean now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we got more treats. After this, we've got a song for the ladies. We're going out of sync here. We're going to play Song for the Ladies, the penultimate track, because I want to leave them with a Christmas classic, the Joni Mitchell classic, River. So look forward to that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been a great show.
It has.
Even though I say so myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I've enjoyed it. Looking back over the year, looking forward to Christmas. Go on.
Can I just throw a big thanks out to all the people that have emailed us and phoned in and written to us over the last six months. I think it's about four people who keep doing it.
Yeah.
Recycling the same
under different names, though.
Exactly. But we don't tend to read stuff out, but it is appreciated.
It is, and it's often gets into the show, whether you know it or not.
Exactly. In some way, we steal your jokes and pass them off as our own.
Nice email from someone there saying there is a tofurkey.
A tofu turkey.
Yeah.
You can buy it in the whole trimmings.
See, I made that up. I could have written that down and, well, it'd already been done.
Yeah.
So I said we can't paint in a tofurkey.
Sure.
So I've embarrassed myself again.
Sturgis, are you going to be driving home for Christmas?
No, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here.
God, she's working.
He's just the same as me.
She's working on Christmas, Sturgis.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Someone emailed me the other week saying, will I be voice tracked over Christmas? Well, I'm not quite sure. It's a radio term, apparently.
Right,
but no, I will be live.
Wow.
On Christmas Day?
Oh, yes. Christmas Day evening.
So you can't drink and stuff? Well, not as much as you would have liked. I mean, you're always drunk on air, obviously.
but it's getting to that point. I didn't know she drank till I saw her sober one Sunday morning when she came in to do an early show, and she was talking differently.
Yeah.
She went, the pubs aren't open yet.
Exactly.
And I realised. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what should we play now?
I don't know, Steve? I've kind of felt like we've sort of exhausted ourselves, really. We've run out of stuff to say. We've made all our observations about Christmas.
Yeah.
We've taken a sideways glance
at the sausage.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, funny word.
This year's
stuffing. Remember when we talked about stuff? Do you remember I think it was four links ago.
Yeah, sure.
No, listen. We're going to call it sausage loving. And we talked about all the different things you have on a plate and that. And we started off with, like, turkey. And then
I'm just trying to remember some of the amusing bloopers that took place over the course of the show. Do you remember when you didn't make it back in time for the link and you were making tea?
I was making tea!
That was a classic one.
What was that one when, I think you said something like, that was a white stripes.
He's gonna
say the word wrong or something.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
If you're one of those people.
Oh, this is great. I'll tell you what, I'd like to play a record because I'd like to talk about this link later.
Yeah.
Should we play a record?
Yeah, well, let's look back on it, like, you know, amusingly, like I Love 1980.
Oh,
let's do that
God.
In a second. So I'll play a song for the ladies, final one of the year, and it's a song which I did play a long time ago, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's from Nick Cave's album. What was it called again? I think it was called No More Shall We Part, and it's an absolutely magnificent
track. I'm just remembering the last time you played it.
I know.
It was brilliant, because you introduced it, and then I think it was Carl.
Preston
played it and we listened to it.
Were we playing Buckaroo or eating Curly Whirlies at the time? I can't remember.
I was on a space opera.
It's Love Letter. Beautiful song.
Absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm loving this, but we've got to go soon.
Sadly, the clock has beaten us, Rick.
It's the last track that we're going to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lovely track. It starts off with a little bit of Jingle Bells at the beginning, a little bit of tribute on the piano. It's Joni Mitchell and The River.